In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Washington Post is reporting a disturbing practice among nursing home workers nationwide. According to their report, there have been at least 35 cases of workers posting shameful and dehumanizing videos and pictures of elderly people on social media networks in the past few years. The World View spoke to Kay Owen Larson, founder and president of Crossroad Ministries USA, about the issue.
And there probably is a lot of abuse that goes on in nursing homes with CNAs and other things that happen. But for the most part, I would say that the residents are well cared for. They're well loved by the staff. But there's always abuse.
Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Rich Wilkerson Jr., pastor of a new congregation called VU Church, friends with Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, and Justin Bieber, is now being featured in the reality show Rich in Faith. This distorted reality show on the Oxygen Network promotes a worldly form of Christianity free from morals. The World View spoke to Pastor Joe Schimmel of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, about Wilkerson's show.
It's trying to say, hey, Christians can have fun. We can. Used to be we're in the world but out of the world, and that our real joy is being in the Lord. And Christian fun would be totally pure, wholesome, righteous encouragement. And there'd be more laughter and joy in true biblical fun than there would be typically in the world. And it would be the idea that Christians are in the world but not of it, that we abstain from that which is evil, that which is, the scriptures call it, darkness, sin. In this form of Christianity, it blends the lines a lot, and it basically presents a view that Christians aren't just in the world, but that we can be of the world.
Please pray for Sister Dina, a widow in Central Asia. She is experiencing severe poverty and disease, as well as persecution from her wealthy Muslim relatives. Despite this, she cares for her mother and two children and teaches at a Christian school. Dina and her 9-year-old daughter have hepatitis C, but lack money for the expensive medication needed. May the Lord bring healing to her body and help from the body of Christ. If you would like to help this woman and her child, you can give a donation through the website opendoorsusa.org. That's opendoorsusa.org. God opens doors that no man can shut, and this week he has opened the prison doors holding Iranian pastor Farshid Fathi for 5 years. Fathi was arrested on December 26, 2010, with 90 others deemed extremist Christians while laboring as pastor and leader among house churches. Praise God for his early release. Christian Today reported Russian warplanes are believed to be behind the airstrikes on the rebel-held city of Idlib in northwest Syria that killed scores on Sunday. Rescue workers confirmed 43 people were dead, with 30 bodies still needing identification and over 150 wounded. The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration released the results of an audit on Monday, faulting the IRS, according to reports on Fox News. The report stated, because of a programming error, over $27 million of refunds were erroneously issued for 13,043 people for the tax year 2013. The gender blender continues. New York City law now strengthens the so-called rights of transgenders. Businesses, landlords, and employers are warned to not intentionally call a transgendered woman a him or mister if they prefer a different title or pronoun. And now, it's against the law to bar such people from the restroom of their choice. Deuteronomy 22:5 reminds us that a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Meanwhile, Slovenia overwhelmingly opposed homosexual marriage in a vote of 63.4% to 36.6%, rejecting a law proposed by the leftist ZL party. The law called for the legalization of the adoption of children by homosexual couples, as well as acknowledging homosexual relationships. On Tuesday, Colorado busboy Johnny Duckworth found $3,000 of cash while working at Randy's Southside Diner in Grand Junction. According to Fox News, he handed the money over to his boss, who returned it to the owner. The thankful patron then tipped Duckworth $300. People who heard the story were so impressed with the busboy's honesty, they raised $3,800 for him. Duckworth says he never thought of keeping the money, saying, "I work for a living." A Tennessee McDonald's, being called less than politically correct, is drawing attention to the reason for the season. Alongside their unmistakable golden arches, they painted a nativity scene on their window, proclaiming his name is Jesus, along with the imperative, "Rejoice!" A digital pic of the nativity scene has gone viral on Facebook, with more than 133,019 likes, 82,484 shares, and almost 7,000 comments. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Philippians 4:4-5. And that's the Worldview on this Wednesday, December 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also in the studio with me. He leads a church up in the Aurora Parker area, just a bit north of us. And today we're going to be talking about freedom of speech and the importance of pastors and engaging the message, and of course getting in trouble for it. That's just going to happen. But before we go there, I want to address this very interesting story that came from the Daily Mail, the UK Mirror, the People magazine. A lot of secular organizations cover this story about an oral fatwa that was issued by ISIS in which they require the euthanization of kids with Down syndrome and other special needs. Now, it's an awful, awful story. It's a dreadful, dreadful story picked up by the Daily Mail, People magazine, other secular sources. And they're up in arms about this kind of thing because, well, ISIS is saying it's open season on the euthanization or the infanticide of these little kids, and they recommend lethal injection or suffocation for these kids, and apparently 38 kids between 1 week of age and 3 months have been killed already by lethal injection or by suffocation. Now, of course, everybody's upset about this, and we covered it on our Worldview in 5 Minutes program a couple of days ago. And but then again, Life News reported this would have been about a year ago that 92% of babies conceived with Down syndrome in the United Kingdom are aborted as well. And those numbers, by the way, up 34% since 2011. And one of the reasons is because I guess there's a clearer sense via amniocentesis or some of the early in utero tests to determine whether or not these kids have problems with some of their chromosomes.
So why are they upset then with ISIS?
Exactly. Exactly. And as pastors, as prophets, as those who really have a responsibility to bring the word to our day and to our people today, I think we ought to be able to say, now, and so what's the problem with ISIS? And this applies to our nation as well, where with increased socialist medicine, you know there's going to be increasing instances of the euthanization and the abortion for kids born with Down syndrome or conceived with Down syndrome or other forms of birth defects.
Yeah, I wonder if ISIS were to carve up the babies and sell their body parts, then that would make it better?
Worse.
Worse, okay.
I think worse. Well, if ISIS does it, it's worse.
Okay.
But if Planned Parenthood does it,
then it's okay.
It's just fetal parts for research. So get off our case. You see, there's hypocrisy here, my friends. And it's our duty to continually point out hypocrisy and, of course, call all of us to repentance on these issues. Wow, the Western world, bunch of hypocrites. Bunch of hypocrites pointing out ISIS and saying, well, 38 kids. 38 kids. And here we are sitting with blood on our hands from the millions and millions and millions of Down syndrome kids and others. Trisomy 18s, et cetera, who've been cruelly slaughtered by
by abortion over the last number of years. Okay, now I'm going to ask the question, which is worse? Here it is. Here's the quiz show for anybody who wants to participate. All right, everybody ready? Here's the quiz show for anybody who wants to participate. Which is worse? A, radical Muslims committing infanticide. Or B, radical humanists committing abortion and infanticide when the babies are born alive. So which is worse? Come on.
Can I buy a vowel, Pat?
What, you're having a hard time with this?
Yeah.
Which is worse, Steve?
It would have to be if the parents are killing their own kids.
Well, and that's my next question. Which is worse, governments killing their kids or parents killing their own kids because they're just inconvenient? Yeah, you know, in the case of governments killing kids, that's Pharaoh, mm-hmm. right? That's Herod. That's ISIS. And China.
Yeah.
In their forced abortion, forced infanticide policies. So you have governments killing their kids or killing our kids, or parents killing their own kids because they're inconvenient. In the case of parents killing their own kids, it seems to me that it is the abolition of natural affection. It becomes more of the issue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Governments have no real natural affection for, well, anybody, especially if they're tyrannical governments. But at the point where the love of so many has grown cold, that the average parent out there lacks a fair amount of natural affection and a fair percentage are out killing their own kids, seems to me that may be even more horrific than governments killing kids for us. Okay, which is worse? A, Muslims who are into polygamy and wife beating, or B, radical humanists who are into serial fornicating relationships, 50% illegitimacy rates, 45% broken families, and a bunch of homosexual promoting stuff going on. So which is worse? Again, you know, it's hard to determine, isn't it? It's sort of like, okay, polygamy and wife beating, radical humanists into serial fornicating relationships, 50% illegitimacy, 45% broken families, and the destruction of sexuality. It's hard to determine. Now, friends, hypocrisy runs very, very, very deep, especially in our day-to-day. The basic assumption, of course, by most everybody out there is, well, ISIS is evil. Everybody else is pretty evil, but not us. We're actually doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We're in pretty good shape. I think that's the average person's perception. See, we look at others and we think, they're just so bad. Oh, ISIS is so bad. But we don't think about ourselves very much. The basic assumption is anything's better than a Christian society where there are stable families and Christian laws that influence others. There's this assumption that, and this is why the liberals like Muslims and they like humanism. They like abortion. They like infanticide. And they like ISIS, I guess, except when they commit infanticide, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. There's a little bit of an inconsistency there. But they seem to like, they're drawn to the Muslim religion. They're drawn to the humanist religion. They're drawn to the 92% of Down syndrome kids aborted by their own parents in the UK every year. They're drawn to these sorts of things. But when you step in and say, now, wait, we got a different worldview, and we'd like to suggest that our worldview, that is a Christian worldview, is better than the ISIS worldview and the humanist worldview, it seems like there's a fair amount of pushback when we suggest that.
Yeah, and you have to throw in assisted suicide into the mix as well. I mean, that's okay. Euthanasia in Oregon and other places, they think that that's okay, but ISIS killing people for no reason is not okay.
Yeah, there seems to be the unspoken assumption that the washed-up post-Christian humanist world is the highest possible standard for life on Earth. That seems to be the basic unspoken assumption by People Magazine and the UK Mirror. And I think there's this subtle pressure on us to insist that the white Anglo-Saxon ex-Protestant post-Christian nations are always better than whatever the Muslims are doing, or certainly way better than whatever the Christians might suggest for us. Well, whatever happens, friends, this kind of thing is going to fail. Socialism going to fail. And I think eventually the system that supports a society in which illegitimacy is the norm is going to fail as well, which means I think polygamy is going to return, since there's almost zero interest in a Christian world and life view in these post-Christian cultures. But whatever the case, we as Christians need to continue to call people to repentance. We need to call them to the standards of God's word and to realize that we're all sinners and we need Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And that's the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Let's remind our neighbors of this, especially during this season where people are recognizing that Jesus did come as a baby in a manger some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Matthew 1:21, the angel came to Joseph and said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that includes Muslims and humanists in a burned-out post-Christian world. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today as we talk about freedom of speech and the importance of pastors to stand in the gap and raise up a call to repentance to a nation that is living in hypocrisy, especially on issues like abortion, infanticide, and homosexuality, the sorts of things that get a pretty nice painting on the outside of the sepulcher. The white wall painting on the outside of the sepulcher is about the best you can possibly get, usually ordained by the Supreme Court of the United States, who use the absolute best form of white paint you can possibly use to justify an entire nation in its sin. But as pastors, we need to call people to repentance on issues like this and point out that there is a way, a truth, and a life, but no man comes to the Father but by Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that sounds a little narrow-minded and bigoted to a polytheistic, a pluralistic world, the kind of world that we live in today, which is the world of many gods, and most of these gods are called humans, and it is called a humanist religion. And whenever we stand up to preach, we're going to get into a fair amount of trouble. And we're starting to see that with pastors around the world. More and more pastors are being imprisoned and will be imprisoned. Of course, the Eastern world's been imprisoning pastors for a very long time, for the last 100 years or so. But the Western world is starting to see that happen as well. In the Eastern world, North Korea's Supreme Court sentenced a Canadian pastor to life in prison and hard labor because he was using religion to try to destroy the North Korean system. And yes, that happens. We use religion to bring down every imagination. And yet, anytime you stand up and preach, you're going to be bringing down citadels. You're going to be bringing down systems that have been in place for a very long time. And anytime you begin to teach the word of God and call people to repentance and faith based upon a biblical ethical system, a biblical truth system, you can bet it's going to fly into the face of whatever Caesar is doing. And whenever we raise up Christ to be the Lord and the King, of course, they're going to see some competition with Caesar. So this kind of thing has happened for a very long time, but in the Western world, not so much. And that's why this pastor, James McConnell, out in Ireland, who was just recently tried for offending Islam from his pulpit and distributing the message in electronic form, apparently we don't know yet what the judge's decision will be until January 5th, but nevertheless, they did not discontinue the trial, even though the principal prosecution witness against the Christian pastor was a Muslim who supported the Islamic State and its rule of Mosul, according to ChristianToday.com. Okay, so again, principal witness, ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Christian pastor being attacked. Humanist government takes the position of ISIS rather than to stand with the Christian pastor, who's going to be calling all men everywhere to repentance, as Paul did on Mars Hill in Acts 17. All right, so that's the situation, friends. Pastors around the country, pastors around the world will be pressured very, very significantly. And as I see it, this is probably the first time since the 17th century that pastors have been threatened with jail time and fines since the time of the persecution, the Bloody Fields in Scotland, and the Dutch Inquisition in the 1560s, 1570s. This is the first time we've seen this kind of persecution come back to the Western world. Again, I distinguish between the Eastern world and the Western world. Yes, the Soviet Union, other godless, humanist, communist countries like China, elsewhere, have been persecuting pastors for the last 100 years or so. But now it's now returning to the Western world as well.
And the reason is because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And nobody likes to get stuck with a sword, especially a godless government. And so if we can get rid of them, we don't have to hear it.
Well, now here's a Fox News story that brings the story back to home, and that is to, well, the good USS of A, the United Socialist States of America. This story, very interesting. This was Yale University.
Yeah, one of the Ivy League schools.
It's a great school. What, 5-6 presidents have come from the school? 10 Supreme Court justices have come from Yale University? Ivy League, top-notch school in America. Probably couldn't find a more prestigious university in America. And this fella, by the name of Ami Horowitz, he has hit the campus with a petition to begin a repeal of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which is the right to free speech.
Right.
And this comes on the heels of the attack on free speech in American college campuses everywhere, largely because people do not want to hear the truth. Anytime you have anybody who wants to speak the truth on these campuses, they receive an amazing amount of persecution. If they stand and they say something that even comes close to this proposition, the emperor is wearing no clothes. The dude is nude.
Mm-hmm.
If they even come a tiny bit close, the entire campus is an uproar against these people who intend to turn the world upside down with this truth. See, the truth is scary to the campus, and that's one reason why it has got to be obliterated, utterly obliterated from American campuses. It is so incredibly hated. Any mention of God, of course, very much hated because everybody knows God doesn't exist. But, you know, it's hard to understand why they hate this God who doesn't exist. Sort of like hating Cinderella.
Yeah.
Cinderella doesn't exist. Why would you hate Cinderella?
Yeah.
Or worse yet, the fairy godmother or the stepmother herself, who's a very cruel stepmother. But what if you spent your whole life hating an imaginary stepmother?
Yeah.
No, these people on the college campuses who hate God and hate the preaching of God's word in the public forum are simply people who have it out against God. They have this cosmic battle going on, this cosmic enmity against God, this bitterness that goes all the way to the very, very depths of their souls. And anytime somebody stands up and preaches in the public forum, some of that's going to come out. Well, that's the reason why there is such a desire to abridge free speech on these college campuses, including Yale. And according to this guy Horowitz, he said a solid majority of the students willingly signed the petition, with several expressing their enthusiastic approval of his anti-First Amendment efforts. Now, here's just a piece of his video that was conveyed on Fox News, and I believe this belongs to Ami Horowitz, but let's go ahead and play just a piece of it. This is him speaking. First of all, he talks about what the First Amendment is about, and then he goes on campus. We're going to just give 20, 30 seconds of this.
Just as a reminder, the First Amendment protects the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, and oh yeah, freedom of petition.
So we're calling for is to repeal the First Amendment.
I think this is fantastic. Okay. I absolutely agree.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Love it.
Thank you.
I'll sign it for you guys.
All right, I appreciate it.
I appreciate what you're trying to do.
I think the Constitution should be one big safe space, mm-hmm. right? Hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, no.
Should not be protected speech.
Yeah. I totally agree with where you're at.
I totally agree with where you're at. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You tell them, Yale students. You tell them. Unbelievable.
So they're signing a petition to get rid of being able to sign a petition.
This is Yale.
Yeah.
This is probably the top-notch university in America saying, yeah, we're done with the First Amendment.
Yeah, we don't want to
no
have
more
free,
First Amendment. Yeah,
no I've more been a, free speech.
You know, I've been offended by people before who've taken advantage of the free right to free speech on this campus, and I think we're just gonna be done with it. That's it. Now these people grow up and they become the next Supreme Court justices of the United States. You know that,
right? And then they sign or they make decisions to abridge our rights.
Yeah, that's the scary thing. Okay, well, that's the kind of thing that's happening right now on American campuses. And but I'm thankful that God has given us the First Amendment. And here's why. The First Amendment, the right to free speech, was very important to the apostles. And I really want to underscore this before we're done with this edition of the program. And those of you who hopefully are not going to send your children to Yale University to get the other side of this and eventually wind up in sort of the malaise of the average modern college kid today, including Yale University, I would really encourage you to raise your children with a respect for the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And be sure to get a copy of my book, Freedom, so that your children and your grandchildren have a firm concept of the 800-year struggle for our Bill of Rights and the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today. Western liberties have an 800-year legacy, and right now is the time to get your copy of the 800th anniversary copy of the book, Freedom. That has been published by this organization over the last 2 to 3 months as a means of celebrating the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. Well, it's very important to Christians because Peter and James and John and the Apostle Paul, they would say, we have to be here in the public forum. We have to be standing out here in front of the Sanhedrin. We have to be able to preach on the streets because we testify to the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead. We have to be here, and we ought to obey God rather than men when it comes to the issue of speaking. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. Christians must speak in the public forum wherever they go. Now, it's true there are points at which you must dust your feet off and move to the next city because they've rejected you there and they persecute you. That's true, but then you go to the next city for what? To preach in the public forum again, to get back on the radio, to bring the message again to the masses, again and again and again. Friends, that's what the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul were doing. They absolutely needed the First Amendment. Of course, they were persecuted without it. And thankfully, the Western world achieved it over 800 years of battles. Now we're about to lose it, thanks to Yale University and thanks to most of the universities around America. But get my book, Freedom, and hopefully you can really emphasize this vision for freedom for your children and your grandchildren, that somehow freedom might survive in the year 2050 or 2060 if your children and grandchildren have been properly grounded in the historical and biblical standard for freedom.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that people are afraid to be offended.
Yeah, I mean,
or get their feelings hurt. If you heard that in the video, you know this is so that people won't hurt other people's feelings. And I mean, come on, people. Well, we have raised a generation of wimps, and people are just, you know, the biggest thing that you could do against somebody is to offend them, to make their, you know, give their feelings hurt. Come on, people. Here's $10. Buy yourself a spine.
Yeah. Well, this is a very helpful article from the Washington Post that clarifies our right to free speech by the First Amendment in the United States, and I'm thankful for this. Anti-Muslim rhetoric, anti-Christian rhetoric, anti-Mormon rhetoric, and so on is constitutionally protected against punishment, at least outside the narrow zone of speech intended to and likely to incite imminent crime, such as speech to an angry mob outside of a mosque urging it to destroy the building. Okay, so that would be an exception, and I understand that. But other than that, you got a lot of freedom in this country, my friends. Freedom that you don't have in Ireland right now. Why? Because it's going away. Why? Because the Magna Carta is going away. Because freedom's going away. Freedoms you certainly don't have in North Korea. You don't have these freedoms in North Korea. Now look what happens. Pastors put in prison camps and will be tortured for life, and that life will last about 5 or 6 years for your average prison camp detainee in North Korea. All right, so Here's another point. True threats of violence are not protected against punishment. And that is, you know, when you threaten to murder somebody.
Right.
And you shouldn't be out there threatening to murder somebody.
But that's not a microaggression.
No. Violent attacks on a person motivated by the target's religion, race, and the like can be punished more severely than violent attacks that are not so motivated. Even constitutionally protected speech might lead prosecutors to investigate whether the speaker is planning constitutionally unprotected criminal action or has already committed a crime. ISIS, ergo, here's an example. ISIS is doing a great work. I really feel motivated to join in that work. Is constitutionally protected speech, but prosecutors might reasonably look into just what the speaker has been doing. In other words, there might be things that they're saying in support of terrorist organizations that would encourage the federal government to do further investigation.
Yeah,
we understand those sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of that, the First Amendment protects American free speech. And I say praise God for that.
Amen.
All right. Preaching is important for us. Preaching, calling people to repentance, especially in areas like homosexuality, abortion, fornication, illegitimate divorce, indoctrinating your kids in the wrong worldview, the pro-homosexual, anti-God, pro-evolution, pro-materialism worldview that predominates in the public schools. We ought to warn people about this sort of stuff. We ought to call people to repentance on these sorts of things, because preaching is how people get saved. That's why we have to protect preaching. Preaching convicts people. Preaching draws people to Christ. Now, not everybody, but the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why I think the First Amendment trumps the Second. Now, not everybody agrees with me on that, but that's all right. I like both of them. I want both of them. We will fight for both of them, so don't get too carried away. But the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharper than any bullet that comes out of any gun. The Word of God is incredibly devastating to Satan's house, and that's why Satan hates the preaching of the Word of God more than he hates guns. More than he hates anything else. Why? Because it's so incredibly dangerous. So let's keep using it. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't be intimidated. You know, it's interesting. I just read Saul Alinsky's goal in Rules for Radicals, and his goal is primarily to shame and silence conservatives and Christians. The devil doesn't want the word to get out. He wants to shame us out of saying the sorts of things that we do. He wants the media to shame us from saying the things that we need to be saying. He wants us to be embarrassed, so we won't stand up in the university classroom, risk our grade, risk being expelled from the university by saying the truth. He wants us to be ashamed. But I'm here to tell you, friends, you've got a weapon in your hands, the Word of God, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts, the intents of the heart. That's amazing. Get out there, use it. Pull it out, use it. It's effective. Trust me. The Word of God. Trust the Word of God. The Word of God is effective. Let's get the word out. The devil doesn't want to do it because it's the most dangerous thing for his kingdom. That's why the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, is so important for this nation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. Again, my encouragement, grab a copy of the book Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This will give you an exciting story, an inspiring story. It's certainly the most inspiring research I've ever done. Wow, the stories told in the battle for freedom over 800 years. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Now, you can pick up the 7, 8, 10, 12 books that will give you something of the story, but I condense it all into one book called Freedom. Available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.